in our hearts and lives, to grow us, to teach us, to change us, whatever the need might be, Lord. We pray that you would be pleased in this service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So God here in verse 10 likens the word to rain and snow, which is, of course, water. And then he also likens the word to bread or a seed. And we know that God uses these analogies to teach us about his word. So we'll start with Ephesians 5, verse 26, where he likens the word to water. And Ephesians 5, 26, he talks about the word being like the rain and the snow that come down from heaven. And here in Ephesians 5, 26, the Bible says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And so the word has a cleansing effect, but it also has a watering effect on the seed, which, as we saw, that it may bring forth seed to the sower and so forth and bread to the eater. And that is in Luke chapter 8, if you want to turn there, where the Lord likens the word to a seed or to what the seed produces, which is ultimately bread. And what God is alluding to, of course, in this passage is the power of his word. Notice Luke chapter 8, verse 11, where the Bible says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God." And then he tells the parable of the sower, which we're quite familiar with. The seed is the word of God. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:23 that we're not born of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So that seed, or the word of God, has the power to take root in our hearts and save our souls. That's an amazing power. And so God here in Isaiah 55 is reminding us that his word is powerful. He says in verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." The word of God came out of God's mouth. That's an important thing for us as Christians to believe, that the word of God is inspired. There's many people out there that believe that the Bible was just written by a bunch of men. And we have it in our hands. And there are a lot of books out there that people follow that were written by men. But this one wasn't. This book was written by God. It came directly from God. Yes, he used men to pen the words, but God wrote the word of God. And he explained that process in 2 Peter 1, if you would turn there. 2 Peter chapter 1, how God brought this to be, that he inspired his word through men, but it is still the word of God, as he says here in Isaiah 55:11, that goeth forth out of his mouth. Notice 2 Peter 1:19, the Bible says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." We didn't get the Bible through the will of man. We got the Bible from God. That's important. You know, we're told in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's important for a Christian to believe in the inspiration of the Bible. Because if we believe in the inspiration of the Bible, then we can believe in the perfection of the Bible. Amen? That if God wrote it, God wrote it well. God wrote it perfectly. God didn't make any mistakes. He gave us exactly what he wanted us to have. You know, the Bible doesn't try to prove that it's from God, but it claims it's from God. Over 800 times in the Old Testament, we see the phrase, "Thus saith the Lord." God says, "I am speaking now." And it's being penned, written down for man. So he doesn't say, "I'm going to try to prove to you that this is the word." He says, "This is the word." And we, by faith, accept that God, our Creator, wanted to write down his will for us, and he did, in a book called the Bible. And he preserved it for us. Go to Psalm 12. I know you're very familiar with the passage, but I don't know about you, but I never get tired of seeing this passage and being reminded that God promised us that he would preserve his word forever, for us. Notice Psalm 12, verse 6. The Bible says, "The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So God promised that His Word, as we saw in Isaiah 55:11, would not return void, but it will accomplish that which He pleases. It shall prosper in the thing whereto He sent it. So let's talk about how God wants His Word to prosper in the different areas that He wants the Word to prosper. And of course, I believe that it all starts with rescuing the lost from hell. At least it did in our lives. I mean, ultimately, that's the most important thing for each of us, isn't it? Is that we are saved. That we find Christ. If we don't find Christ, then the Word doesn't accomplish anything in our lives other than to condemn us. When we go to hell, as Jesus said, it's the Word that will judge us. But the Word of God is powerful, right? Hebrews 4:12, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so the Word of God, He says it will prosper. One of the things it will prosper in is reaching people for Jesus, reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you would look at Jeremiah 23, and God here talks about the power of His Word to break down, if you will, the barriers in men's hearts and reach them with the truth. Jeremiah 23, look at verse 29. The Bible says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Those are two things that we can relate to. Fire and a hammer. God says His word is like fire and a hammer. It can burn in our hearts, and it can break down the hardest of heart into a heart that will listen. Now, if you would look at James chapter 1, verse 21, where we are told that the Word of God has the power to save souls. James 1:21. Notice he says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word," look at this last phrase, "which is able to save your souls." So I thought it was Jesus that saved. It is. Jesus is the Word. And the Word is Jesus. You can't be saved outside of the Word of God. You can't be saved without hearing the Gospel. And the Gospel is the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. So the Bible, one of the areas where God says His Word shall prosper and not return void, is in reaching lost people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Saving souls. Hallelujah for that. We wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for the power of God's Word to save souls. Another thing that the Bible has the power to do after we're saved is to ground us in our faith. We as Christians need the Word of God so that we might grow. We start off as a baby and we grow. God wants us to mature in our faith. He wants us to grow in our understanding of God's ways and God's plan for our lives. We do that through the power of the Word of God. So go to Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll look at that area where God's Word will prosper, where it will accomplish what He sent it to do, and that is to grow Christians. And if you're here this evening, and you've been saved a while, and you can look back on your Christian life, say 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and you can see that you've changed and become more like Jesus, the Word had a part in that. No question. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 12. "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belong to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." That's why the Bible says study in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. The Word of God has the power to grow Christians. So first of all, like the seed, like the hammer, like the fire, has the power to reach into men's hearts and save their souls. Then, as we see here, God likens it to meat and milk. He likens it to food. Look in Psalm 119 sometimes at how many different times David likens the word to food, to honey, and to other things. Job said, "I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." The song that we're singing on Sunday mornings, "More to be desired are they than gold, yet a much fine gold, sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb." The reason for that is because we need to feed on this to grow. This is our food. And God likens it to food for that reason. So it grounds us, but it also builds us up. He talks about it being like meat, and as we read here, like milk. 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word." Why? "That you may grow." So the word of God will prosper in reaching the lost and in growing Christians in their faith. Now, that's not only true when we read it, and it's not only true when we study it, but it's also true when we hear it. Doesn't Romans 10:17 say, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God"? God builds our faith through his word, which is another part of us growing. And again, if we look back on our Christian lives and we can see that we've grown, the word of God had a part in that. Not only our own personal devotions, not only our own study time, but also the sermons and Bible lessons that we've heard over the years, the Holy Spirit used those in our lives to grow our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word has the power to save, and it will prosper in that, and already has millions of times in people's lives, and it has the power to grow Christians. What else does it have the power to do? Well, if you go to Ephesians 6:17, the Bible says that it also has the power to resist the devil. Now that's a lot of power. Resist the devil. Notice Ephesians 6:17, where God is talking about the armor of God. And he says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." And we know Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But here he actually says the word is a sword. It is the sword of the Spirit. Now what do we use a sword for? We use a sword to fight, to stab. The Bible tells us in James 4:7, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." How do we resist the devil? We can't even see him. We use the sword of the word of God to resist the devil. Jesus, when he was tempted in the desert, in the Gospels, every time the devil tempted him with one of the three areas of sin in 1 John, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, what did Jesus do? He just said, "It is written." And he quoted Scripture, Old Testament Scripture. The Bible says the devil left for a season. We need to understand the power of God's word to prosper in that way in our lives. That's why David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." If we will hide the word of God in our hearts, when the devil comes, we have the sword. We're ready to resist the devil that he might flee from us. So the word of God will prosper in protecting us and helping us to resist the devil. So not only grows us and saves us, but also gives us that power to resist Satan. That's pretty powerful. And of course, he likens it to the sword in that aspect. He also tells us, I forgot what number that was, but I think that was number three. Number four is that the Word of God has the power to lead our way. Because we don't know the way we're supposed to go. Let's go to 119, 105 of Psalms. And I know a lot of you know this verse by heart. But the Bible has the power, and it will prosper in giving us direction. You know, we often think about verses like "Lean not unto thine own understanding," and so forth. Well, where are we supposed to get the understanding? From the Word of God. The Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." Well, where does that wisdom come from? It comes from the Word of God. That's why the Bible says here in Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's Word has the power to show us the way we're supposed to go, because we don't know. As we looked recently in Jeremiah 29:13, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We don't know the way to go. But God's Word can lead us. It can direct us. It can light the path that we're supposed to take. That's why God said to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." He said, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous." There's that word prosper again. "And then thou shalt have good success." So even in the Old Testament, he said to the Old Testament patriarchs, "This book can lead the way. This book can show you how to prosper. This book can show you how to have a successful life for God." And so the Word of God can save us. It can grow us and build our faith. It can give us the power to resist the devil, or it has the power to resist the devil, and it leads our way. And then if we look at one other one, James chapter 1, the Bible is not only likened to that hammer and to the meat and the milk and the sword and the light and the lamp, but it's also likened to a mirror. And this one's quite interesting. James chapter 1. Now, God uses the word glass, but when you read the context, you'll understand he's talking about a reflective glass. Here in James 1:23, he says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." The Word of God even has the power to reflect back on us the areas that we need work. And that will be true until we leave this earth. There's always going to be an area that God wants to do more work in our lives. And so if we will get into the Word, God will use it like a mirror. And it won't be like a human reflection like we see in our mirror in our bathroom, but it is a spiritual reflection. God will show us through the Holy Spirit and His Word, this is an area where you need work. This is an area where we need to work on this. We need to change this. And God will use His Word that way to keep us from stumbling and falling. If we aren't like the man that walks away and forgets, but if we're like the man that pays attention to what He shows us, God can use it in that way. Go to Psalm 37, if you would, please, where the Bible says the same thing, that the Word of God has the power to keep us from falling. We're all sinners. We all have a tendency towards sin. And it is the Word of God that can help us when those times come. When we're tempted by the devil to stumble, to go the wrong way, look what the Bible says, Psalm 37:31. "The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide." Isn't that good? The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. So God's Word will also prosper in protecting us from falling and stumbling. That's a lot of power. This book is powerful. And it will prosper in these areas that God has told us it will prosper in. It will save the lost. We just need to give it. It will grow us and ground us in our faith. We just need to be in it and expose ourselves to its preaching and teaching and study it. It will give us the ability to resist the devil. We just need to wield it. It will light our way. We just need to open it and look for that light. Just like when we can't see our way and we go get a torch, that's what this book does spiritually. And this book will prosper in keeping us from stumbling and falling by being that mirror that God will constantly reflect back for us the areas in our lives where we might need some adjustments, if you will. Isn't that amazing that this book could be that powerful? Let's go to Hebrews 4. We'll finish there. You know, the Bible is not like any other book in the universe. There is no other book that God attributes this kind of power to. Now, a book is a book. And I don't know about you, but if I read a book once, I have a hard time reading it a second time. But that's not true of the Bible, is it? We've all read the Bible multiple times, and every time we read it, God uses it in our lives. We never get tired of reading it. You know why? That's because it's a living book. It's a powerful book. It's God's Word. Notice Hebrews 4:12, great verse. For the Word of God is quick. That word quick means living. It is a living book. It's like no other book we could ever put our hands on. It is alive because it is Jesus. It says, and powerful. Well, we've already talked about how powerful the Word is, all that it can do for us, all the areas that it will prosper if we will let it prosper in our own lives. And it says, and sharper than any two-edged sword. So it has this piercing power. Where does it pierce? To the dividing of soul and spirit. Well, we don't know where that is. We don't even know where one ends and one begins. We don't know what they look like. We don't know how big they are. We don't know anything about them other than they exist. But this book, it knows where the soul and spirit are divided. The soul being us as a person, God made a man a living soul. The spirit being how we communicate with God that was given life when we got saved. Where does one end and one begin? This book knows. We don't. It can pierce to the dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And, look at this next phrase, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's one thing none of us can do, is look at other people's motives. We can only see the externals. We can't see hearts. We can't see thoughts. But this book can. This book can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart of man. That's pretty amazing. This is an amazing book. And we should be in love with it. David said, oh, how love I thy law is my meditation all the day in Psalm 119:97. Be in love with the Word of God because it's powerful and God sent it to accomplish what He sent it to accomplish. And as He says here in Isaiah 55:11, it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It shall prosper. Now, I mentioned way in the beginning, what about for the unsaved? What does it accomplish in their lives? Well, let's look at John 12:48 and we'll finish. Because Jesus said that this book is so powerful and so amazing and so important to God that this book will actually judge man. Look at John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The word. We read about Jesus coming back on a white horse, and the Bible says, out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword, and with it he should judge the nations. Well, we already know what that's talking about. His word, his spoken word, the word that had the power to say, let there be light, the word that had the power to say, let there be an earth, let there be the heavens. That same word, that amazingly powerful word that came out of Christ's mouth will judge man at the judgment. That's power. And that's the book that God gave us. So let's love it, let's study it, let's read it, let's meditate in it, let's memorize it. Let's expose ourselves to it, and God will definitely accomplish what He sent it to do, and it will prosper in the thing whereto He sent it. Praise the Lord for His word.